here.
We're here.
We're here. Are we back?
We're back.
Where did we go?
around the block.
I don't know.
Around the corner.
Guess who's back again, again. Names is back. Tell a friend.
Hooty hoo.
Randy's back. Names is back.
That's going to be our new intro song. We're going to have to put that on vinyl. So my friend asked about the podcast, and he had the audacity to say that he didn't like the intro music. I was just like...
Did he offer to make us some new intro music?
He suggested... Who did he say? Somebody ratchet. Migos. It's like, that would never work.
I mean...
We don't have the coins for the licensing.
I'm saying, if anyone has some royalty-free music that they would like to send our way, shoddy, send it our way.
Gas tank, shoddy.
I was in that like mode, like the shawty sing my way. I was in that space, but yeah.
I dig it. We got some love in our inbox.
Oh my God, it made me so happy.
I was
like, it's not just my mother listening. I don't even know if my mama actually listens, but you know.
It's fine. I think my mom would be like, Randy, your mouth. And I'd be like, Mom, I'm not 12 anymore.
My mom would be like, ooh, girl, you cuss a lot, just like me.
Yes, so do you want to read it? Since this really was because you shared.
Are we reading the whole joint back?
So guys, we're excited. We're excited because our first listener, well, this person is our first listener to write in to us and share some feedback about the show. A lot of you guys have been commenting on our Instagram post, which is great, and engaging with us that way. But this person really took the time to write us an email. And that made us feel all warm and fuzzy. So we want to share with you.
Right. So big shout out to Megan for sending this email to us. And what she said was, I had to just give a shout out to Naima's comment about having questions and wanting to have a conversation, but being concerned about not bringing up something for fear of not being or appearing quote unquote woke. I felt so strongly, I reposted the quote on my Instagram account. This made me shout yes out loud on my commute. I think this is just something that's so important, and we shouldn't be shaming people that want to converse and have a genuine interest or desire to learn more about something they may not have a background to know about. As long as they desire to gain an understanding of someone else's perspective, I think only positive stuff can come from that.
That's so awesome. She goes on. She really went in the best of ways.
Yeah, it was great. So shout out to Megan. Shout out to Baron for posting about it, because he posted the quote on his Instagram, and then she saw on his Instagram and then checked out the show.
Yes. So like, and remind listeners who Baron is.
So Baron Vaughn is a comedian based in LA. He's on Netflix series Grace and Frankie. He was also the person who I followed around for a while for a documentary called Fatherless. And so really dope dude. He has a new show that's about to get picked up by Comedy Central. So he's, you know, out in the space. And so he posted and then someone saw it and then checked us out.
It was so serendipitous because you talked about him in your radar.
Because of Fatherless.
And then but he didn't even know, right?
No.
Yeah.
He just saw the quote because Randy made these bomb-ass text cards. That's like, now y'all get to, you know, you can read some of the quotes, you know, share a little bit about what we, you know, the stuff we say on here. And so shared that and then got a new listener and, you know.
Awesome.
So dope stuff. So shout out to both Megan and Baron and to everybody who's been commenting. We appreciate it.
Yes.
We also appreciate you subscribing on iTunes and leaving those good old comments. It's so funny because, like, every time I listen to a podcast, they're like, it really helps us if you comment and rate us in iTunes. And now that we have a podcast, I'm like, oh, yeah, it really helps us.
Exactly.
So please, y'all, go do that.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Shalinda, who's been showing us some love on Twitter. Handful of you all have been showing us love on the Twitters, so we're very grateful. Speaking of fathers, it's June.
It is June, which means it is Father's Day.
Burr, 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 burr. Maybe we should get a real air horn.
I I like when we make up our air horn situation. All right, cool. Yeah. I like just saying air horn. She actually does the noise.
Air horn, air horn. That's Naeem is like a little kid, like air horn. Toot-toot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's Father's Day, y'all.
It is. It's coming up.
It is.
It's the month of Father's Day.
Yeah.
So for the first time in history, I forgot my father's birthday.
Ooh.
And I felt like some trash because of that. But, well, this talks about fathers in a couple ways. So I always know my grandma's birthday is beginning of May. My father's is at the end, and I really don't have to worry about anybody in between, which is great. Father's not on Facebook. Didn't get that reminder.
Yo, the Facebook reminders are so clutch.
Literally,
I don't know anyone's
saves
birthday.
Friendships. Every year, every month, every week, every day.
Yeah.
And so I get a text the next morning, and it was something to the tune of being very disappointed that he didn't hear from me. And I was upset with myself because I was like, how did I forget that? Like, I'm usually the person reminding people. But then what I really chalk it up to is that, so my little cousin just graduated from college, and I probably had more of a relationship with her father than she did because she was raised out here in the Bay, and he was in D.C., and so he came to live with us. He ended up passing from cancer. I think she might have still been in middle school at the time.
Oh, wow.
So that was my Uncle Sonny, and I really, my older cousin came out for her graduation. And I just really wanted to be present, so I went to this long-ass graduation that I did not like at, where was it at? At AT&T, at the Giants Stadium, because it was just so big, you know? Mm-hmm. It was literally probably like 10,000, you know, family, friends, what have you. Mm-hmm. But this, no one was focused. Mm-hmm. Like, no one was really focused on what the speakers were saying, except for shout-out to Alicia Garza.
Hey.
Crushed it. She was, she got her master's in ethnic studies, and she was like, this is an ode to Black women. And
come
she went
on
in, like, super strong on the mic. So, like, that gave my attention. People were, like, standing up and clapping throughout her speech. So that was dope. But it was just, like, just long and chilly and just a lot of things. Different than Northwestern. Mm-hmm. Then Friday was her Black graduation ceremony, and we took her out to eat. And then Saturday, she had a graduation party out in San Jose at her mom's house. But, yes, I think I was just really like, okay, I just want to show up for my little cousin as much as possible because I'm thankful for the relationship that I was able to have with her father. And I know that was out of her, you know, that was out of her control, just being raised on a completely different coast than where her father lives. So I was like, you know, real apologetic to my dad. But he, you know, I sent him a picture. He was like, let me see a picture. And he's like, oh, she looks so much like her dad. I was like, I know, she really does. They favor each other a lot. So I got to be extra on point for Father's Day.
Oh, you got to bring the heat.
Yes, bring the hot fire.
Bring the heat.
Yes.
Father's Day is always really funny for me because my pops is like an easy dude to shop for. I just like...
This is a motorcycle pops?
Yeah, motorcycle
Naima's
pops.
Naima's dad rides a motorcycle, y'all.
So clarification, like, while she's asking, like, what pops I'm talking about, right? And so this gets into this whole thing about how we interact with fathers.
And y'all
so,
are going to want to take out a pen and paper and draw a little map.
Listen, my situation is, you know, it's complicated. So my pops is the man who raised me. He is... my stepfather, which I never refer to him as that because he is my pops. And he's been with my mom's since I was like eight, nine, because my sister was born when I was 10. So, yeah. So it's been a minute, right? Anyway, so that's who raised me. And he is a Harley riding, barbecue grilling, kick your ass in chess. Shit talking, like
that reminds me of that verse from Chance the Rapper: chain smoking, pill popping,
like just right. None of those things, but right. That flow of the wording. But yeah, so that's pops, and then my dad, right?
The man whose jeans I have,
right? He's based out in Texas, but I call him Same Face. I do. Anybody following me on Instagram knows that he was out here for my little brother, well, for my little sister's graduation, and I was like, hey, y'all, Same Face is back in town. And, like, people kept sliding in my DMs like, oh, that's your biological dad. Because, like, most people think Pops is my biological dad.
Right.
And they just think I look like my mom. And then when they see Ken, they're like, oh, it all makes sense now, right?
Yeah,
so same face. So yeah, anyway, Pops is hella easy to shop for. It's going to be something that's either related to motorcycles or barbecue. That's all I got for him. I might, you know, might do something. He liked to dance, too. Oh, man, smooth.
This is same face. It's coming.
Yeah, same face. That same face.
Okay.
She just went to the IG and pulled up a picture.
I just had to be certain.
Gonna get something real smooth for Pops. Slide a card in the mail to Texas for same face.
There you go.
Who happens to be, when he comes out here, is one of my drinking buddies.
That's awesome. You know, growing up, I saw my father. My dad really liked wine, and so he'd always have wine in the house. And I was just, oh man, when I get of age, I can't wait to like have wine with my dad.
Mm-mm.
And then, especially because I actually do like drinking wine. But then all of a sudden, he just didn't want to drink anymore. Like, he drinks it occasionally, and within the past few years. Yeah, in the past few years, my brothers introduced him to, like, craft beers, so he'll keep a few of those in the fridge. But I was kind of, I don't know why it's exciting to think, oh, I can drink with my parents.
Right.
But, yeah.
I think it's interesting for me, the fact that, like, when my dad is out here, I drink with him because we had such a crazy relationship growing up.
Mm.
Like, I'm 31, and I think I'm just now starting to let go of a lot of the tensions that I had around my dad, right? Him and my mom's had me when they were 17. They were seniors in high school.
Wow.
So there's a space where I say, you know, you did fatherhood the best way you could. Like, you know, so that space of, like, really accepting people for where they are and understanding that people do things at different rates, you know,
right,
in different ways, because that's what they have the capacity to do. You know, if you talk to my little brother or my little sister, my dad is Superman, right? Like, they love him. He's been there for everything. He's just like this. They have this really different experience with him.
Sure.
Than I had.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, I see that you have the capacity to be a certain type of father. You just didn't know how to do that at 17, 18, 19.
Right.
You know, whatever, right?
And even in general, when you think about, because you said he did it the best way he could, but then also I was thinking, like, the best way he knew how. Because for so many things, whether it's adulting or parenting, there's not, like, we don't learn about that growing up. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, like, parenting class.
Exactly.
Or even, like teaching us about our emotions and conflict resolution. Like, I think it'd be awesome if there's, like, some sort of family dynamics or family relations class throughout middle school, high school, because then you can kind of better understand things. But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, no one was like, he didn't have a manual, a guidebook on how to be a dad at 17. Or even if you're a dad at 25 or at 35, like, you haven't been, like, sat down and gone through classes to be like, this is how you parent, you know? I mean, you can opt to do that, but it's just very rare.
Yeah. And I think
for moms too.
And I think also the thing of, like, what examples do you have, right? And so, like, if you're learning parenting or you're learning how to be a father from how your father was a father to you and your father wasn't around, what does that mean, right? Which is what my dad's experience was, right? And so I think there's just a lot of stuff. It's so funny when I was like, it's June, it's Father's Day, we could talk about daddy issues all day. You know what I mean? Because it's a reality, like so many folks. I was having a conversation with my best friend the other day, and she was like, yo, daddy issues are real.
So real.
You know, and we think about that, like, how that plays out in our dating, how that plays out in our everyday relationships, like, all of these different things that, you know, surface. And I've had to have a particular analysis around it because, again, talking about fatherless, like, I was with Baron as he was, at the time we started filming, he's 35, and he's never met his father before. And he wants to go on this mission to find his father. And in talking to the different producers, a lot of folks were like, well, he has the quintessential black person story. And I was like, we not gonna do this. Because everybody was coming to the space like, yes, black fathers are hella absent.
They're
and I was like,
there.
nah, bruh, we not. I'm not going to participate in a project that perpetuates this, right? Like, even if that was my experience, that my dad wasn't there, my pops was there. So what do you do to account for that sort of dynamic, right? Like, this idea of, or even the fact that, like, my mom and pops didn't get married until way later, right? So when they do all these statistics, they're basing everything off of who's married,
right?
But just because your parents aren't married, one, doesn't even mean they're not together. And two, doesn't mean that your father is not involved in your life, right? And so how these statistics get out there and how these stories become perpetuated are these narratives and how they sink in, right? And like what that means. And you like walk around thinking like, oh God, I must be broken because I didn't have a father around, or I must be broken because my parents weren't married, right?
And then,
go ahead.
And then also, I guess in my case, it's more so if what happens when your father is physically present, but maybe not always emotionally present. And I think that that's where some of my daddy issues arise from, feeling like, yes, you, like, my dad was present, but he wasn't necessarily present in the way that I think would have maybe had helped me to have or build better self-esteem and to be more selective with the guys that I would later deal with and things like that. Because, or even just like, you know, I think positive affirmation, communicating that to your daughter, not saying that, like, you know, I think I probably have some qualms with the princess notion, right? Like, oh, my princess, this and that, because then it feeds into all the pedestal narratives and damsel in distress and waiting for your knight in shining armor. And I don't mean it in that sense, but at the very least, like, having your father build a daughter up positively is important, too. And that's, like, that comes along with spending time. And I remember a lot of what we did, which I love, would just go out to eat together. Or sometimes I would ask to go with him to his business trips on the train to New York. And so I would just kind of, like, follow him around. And those were, like, really special times. But I just know that, like, that on the flip side, it doesn't account for fathers who are physically present but maybe emotionally absent. And I think that that's an interesting conversation to have. And another thought about thinking about, well, what you said about Baron meeting his father at 35, like, my mom knew her father was, but really didn't have a relationship with him. And I remember meeting my paternal grandfather or maternal grandfather for the first time, I think I was in middle school or high school. And it was just weird because I was like, I don't know you, you know, like, I don't know who you are. My grandfather, like, we call them Stanley. And that's who I knew, you know, that was grandpa. And of course, my dad's dad also. But yeah, it was just weird. And in thinking about how, like, okay, maybe your father chooses to reemerge or whatever, but then it's also a choice to choose whether or not you want that type of relationship.
Right, right.
Or choose the dynamics of the relationship, which I'm sure Baron thought a lot about that too, and even just deciding to seek out his father.
Right. Well, because in that seeking out process, you don't know what's going to happen or, like, what that will look like. The first time I really started to think about how my relationship with my dad was affecting me and how my relationship with my pops was affecting me was, I think it was like one of those, like, high school people talking about when I get married and my dad walks me down the aisle. And I was like, well,
who's it gonna be?
You know, you're like, like, my mama can walk me down. You know, like, you don't know how to process those things. And I think it's, I just think it's really interesting, especially, like, at this point in my life when I start to think about family and what I want to do, right?
Right.
And having conversations about, you know, chosen single motherhood, right? And, like, what that looks like and what that means about the value that you place on fathers, right? Or about, you know, looking at men not just in how they deal with you, right? But, like, dating somebody and you'd be like, yes, me and you rock really well. How are you going to be as a father?
Right.
Is, like, really one of my main questions right now.
Which, you know, is also hard because how do you figure that out? Like, some dads literally, like, cannot stand a crying baby. Literally. And that, I would just be like, what? Like, this is
happening.
Half your seed, sir.
Half, Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's so funny because I think that, like, coming up on Father's Day, it's just, like, brought up a lot of things. And it's so funny I have, like, all of these notes that I was typing for show notes. And I was like, help me understand how the narrative about around Black fatherhood has become what it is. And, you know, and, like, help. But it's just, like, all of it's so complex, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have all of these statistics. And the thing about statistics is people, it's so funny. I love when people are like, men lie, women lie, numbers don't, right? But, like, numbers are not everything, right? Because your stats can look a certain way. And it's like, what statistics are you looking at?
Exactly.
Right? It's like, you know, a certain number of children, of Black children, are born to unwed mothers, mm-hmm. right? But unwed mother doesn't mean father not around, right? Mm-hmm. And but the number that gets perpetuated, right, is always like 70-something percent of Black children are born to single mothers, and that becomes this huge story.
Right.
Right?
But it just focuses on one aspect, which is like, are you married or not?
Right. But when you do the stats and you say, well, and the number hovers around 33% for white men and 36% for Black men around fathers living in the home. And you're like, how are those numbers so similar?
Right.
But the thing we end up focusing on is Black daddy's not around.
Right.
You know what I
mean?
It's just like, and it's crazy. And it's one of those things where you see, like, I'm super thankful for social media and the way that, you know, around Father's Day, I'm really looking forward to these pictures that are coming up to, like, create a new narrative. These pictures that are coming up to create a new narrative and folks sharing their stories. And it's not to say that folks don't grow up without dads.
Right.
It's not to say that there isn't...
I think what you're really crystallizing here is the importance of, with any statistics, it's really important to question and interrogate them and mm-hmm. see how they're being created and sourced. Because also it makes me think about some of my students at San Quentin. They are fathers, some of them. And yes, they're incarcerated, but that doesn't mean that their family is not coming to visit. Like, they have relationship with their children. They have relationship with their grandchildren. You know, we would sometimes start off class by doing highs and lows. Sometimes their high would be that they had a visit from their family. Sometimes their lows would be that they didn't get to visit or that they missed a phone call, you know. And so to hear them talk about their, like, their children and grandchildren with such adoration is like, okay, well, that comes because there is a relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not absent, right? You're physically absent. And there's also... a children's book that talks about that. And I thought that was beautiful because the little girl was just so eager to travel with her grandmother to go visit her father. And I think that's really important because, again, far too often, I think Black fathers get demonized or just sort of get, like, dogged by saying, oh, they're not around. There's all this absentee fatherism within Black communities. And a lot of times, like you said, that's just the statistics aren't really communicating the circumstances.
Right.
And that skews perception.
Right. And I think the other thing is when we look at parenting and we look at fatherhood specifically, thinking about the ways that we can support people in being the fathers that we want them to be.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? So, like, there's a lot of critique, but when you talk about the space of, like, what are the reasons that some folks back out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or are not there, or however you want to frame it, right? Like, I've been around folks who have legit been like, yo, I cannot provide for my kid in the way I want to provide for them. And so, and I feel like my manhood is caught up in that, right? And so being like, until I can provide this and this and that, I don't know that it's necessary for me to be there, right? Or, you know, and so thinking about these things, like, how do we talk about fatherhood?
Yeah.
What is fatherhood? Is it paying for things, right? Is it the emotional support? Is it being married to moms?
Yeah.
Like, and having really open conversations about that, and then acknowledging the wounds and the things that happen when a dad is not there. You know what I mean? And even when you have, you know, another man who steps in for that role? Like, what, like, who is the person that is constantly chasing a sort of, like, how do I frame this? Let me use myself as an example, right? So thinking about where we talk about daddy issues coming in, and it's like, huh, is my desire to make this person love me because I, like, wasn't successful with that with my dad?
Right.
And so now I'm trying to figure out how to make it happen with all of these other folks who are, like, similar to old dude.
Yo, that, like, just makes me, like, I wanted to bust out laughing because it makes me, I was talking to one of my homegirls, and we were, like, joking about, like, so say you go spend the night at a guy's house, and...
Your face. Let's
and then like, and then the next morning, right, he offers to, like, take you to work or something like that, and we're just like, oh my gosh, it's so flattering. And it's just like, but that's what he should be doing. But at
the same
but at the same time, things like when a guy says, you're beautiful, right? And maybe he's spitting game, maybe he actually means it, maybe it's a combination of both, but like being like, oh my gosh, thank you, like, I'm blushing. But when you haven't heard that from your father, you know, and you think that that's where you think should be the primary source of love and affirmation and things like that, when that's not there, then it sounds different to you,
right?
And so for me, that's like, yeah, it just made me think about that. But we were just cracking up at how basic some of those things are.
Settling for whatever.
I was just saying.
Oh my God, that's such a mess.
This is how you know that this is, like, a really hurtful topic, because, like, Naeem and I's voices have dropped to, like, the several, like, calming. We're like, this is how we talk about it. This is the voice we use so that we don't get upset.
Oh my God.
So we don't cry.
Like, we're calm. We're calm.
But going back to what you said about your parents being young parents, I think about that a lot with my brother, because he graduated college, and then within 2 months, my niece was born. And I'm like, well, who did he learn how to be a father from? Because, again, I would say that, well, my dad also stopped living with us by the time that I was 10. I think my brother was like 11 or 12. And so I'm like, and then we also don't have a lot of males in our family. So there was my uncle, and I know my uncle showed my brother a certain type of manhood that was different than what both of my grandfathers showed him. You know, like, one of my grandfathers was a war veteran. He had lost, like, my dad had two brothers, but we never met them. They both died from a disease. So there's just, like, a lot of, like, male presences that are not there. And so, you know, I'm thinking, when I think about, and I think my brother's an amazing father. Like, he's just so goofy and just easygoing, you know. And I just wonder, like, where did he learn? Or if there were conversations, because I know, like, you know, of course you're going to be disappointed if you're, I mean, maybe if, you know, if your child has, like, if your kid is having a kid, basically, I mean, if you consider 21 to be a kid, but, you know, and so I know that my dad was disappointed. But I wonder, you know, if there were conversations between him and my brother about what fatherhood, like, about becoming a father.
Right.
And if so, what those sound like. But I, you know, that's, I guess I kind of was, you know, like, let me just mind my business. You know, let me be supportive.
Step over here.
Supportive auntie. But yeah, it's really interesting to think about, like, okay, who do you learn from?
Yeah. I mean, and in that space of where do you learn from or who do you learn from, I have a lot of friends who are really, really amazing fathers who didn't have good relationships with their fathers. And they're every, like, everything in their bone, in their body, and their fiber is like, let me not be dude, right? And they're these amazing, so... And they're these amazing dads, right? And then I also have a lot of friends who I'm at this point where I have a lot of male friends who are fathers. If you haven't noticed all of my, like, I have friends who this and I have friends who that. But it's an amazing thing to watch men in the fatherhood space. And so, I'm actually kind of, I didn't realize I was so hyped for Father's Day, but I'm actually really, really hyped for Father's Day and just that space of celebration, you know?
Yeah.
What I don't look forward to is a lot of the social media beef that happens on Father's Day.
Yikes. That's a thing?
Oh, my God. It's
so
bad.
Okay, wait. Let me see where you're going with this.
It's so bad. So, like, Father's Day, like, will end up turning into, like, people going really bad on women who are like, I'm both mother and father. And then it's like, you know, the Twitter beefs get crazy. But then you also have, like, the really beautiful pictures of like folks with their fathers and yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm hype. Just I think some... I need to go get some barbecue with my daddy.
Yeah, I always think about how
get everybody confused on the podcast.
I was like, "Do you eat at Everett and Jones?" And you're like, "No, my daddy throws down on the grill." End of story. I was like, "Okay."
My father has ruined barbecue for me because I'm just literally like, it's like if you have somebody who makes a bomb ass potato salad and then you can't eat nobody else's potato salad. Like that's me and barbecue and my pops. Like
that's real.
Everybody's barbecue. I just be like, but it ain't pops.
You're like, So some fun facts.
All right, give me
about
these fun
Father's
facts.
Day. It was not celebrated into the U.S. until the 20th century, and it was inaugurated to complement Mother's Day. Yeah, and so
did Hallmark do that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Someone inaugurated it. Maybe Woodrow Wilson. He said he spoke at a Father's Day celebration.
Okay.
Calvin Coolidge suggested that it should be observed throughout the entire nation, but did not issue a national proclamation. So I want to say around, it was 1966.
So Father's Day is new.
Lyndon B. Johnson, yeah.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even realize that.
Isn't that kind of crazy?
Well,
we think about it, who decides one that we have a national holiday, and like why? I'm always curious about the why.
But I also
I totally think fathers should be celebrated, but I'm just like, I think about where did this come from.
But I think that's interesting because people always talk about how Mother's Day is more touted than Father's Day, and they try to equate that to people being good fathers. But it might just be because Mother's Day has been a part of our culture for far longer than Father's Day.
Oops, I missed. Okay, so actually, 1972 did not become Nixon.
Okay.
Boo. That makes me think about that's going to be a head nod to something that's on my radar.
Hey.
Okay, so we're going to wrap it up. I think we just have to, Naeem and I are not emotionally prepared to have a real daddy issue conversation right now. So we might have like a whole separate episode to get deep into daddy issues.
I mean, we can press pause on this and go back and re-record. What you want to know? What you want to talk about? You trying to have a therapy session?
No. Okay. I don't have the energy today at all.
Anyway, shout out to all of the fathers.
Shout out to the daddies.
We appreciate you.
Are there any dope Father's Day anthems? Like father appreciation songs?
No.
Mine is the ones that I think about. What's his name? Mama with Boyz II Men.
Yeah.
Raheem Devon. No, not Raheem Devon. Yeah, I think so. Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Tupac. But these are all about mothers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like Angie Stone's brother is probably the one I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we're just about to make a podcast to listen to music. Anybody have any dope-ass songs about fathers? We would like to... No, we would like to hear them.
Yeah. Also, shout out to every single person who has played and potentially replayed and reposted our mental health awareness mix. We have had over 600 people jam for the good of your mental order. And over 60 people have reposted on their SoundCloud. So much love. Shout out to Def Sound, who co-curated the mix with me. And it might have to be back by popular demand. So yeah, we'll be back. We're back, y'all. It's I think it's officially a particular season.
The end of cuffing season?
Or is it
beginning of host season? I don't know. I mean yo, all of the Memorial Day posts.
Pew, pew.
No, seriously. All of the Memorial Day posts were like, well, it's Memorial Day. I don't have a man yet. Time to go into host season.
Oh,
and I was like,
gosh.
Oh my God, everybody out here living their best life.
So the beginning of summer could mean host season, maybe. It could mean continued cuffing season. It could mean sundress season.
It is sundress season.
Which my friend was talking about. And he said that if spring and summer got together and had a season, it would be sundress season.
So good.
And he said also, what'd he say? If
He says it's also known as, hey, Ma, look at my arms.
I don't do leg day. Which is great.
Oh my God,
I think if
so
sundress
funny.
Season had to have a theme song for me, it would be Bobby Valentino. Slow down. I might have to grab the instrumental because
yo, lay that joint in here right now.
I saw you walking.
Oh my God. Down on Melrose.
You look like
not Bobby
angel,
V though.
Straight out of heaven, girl.
Why do I know? I'm like going. I know the whole song in my head.
Oh my gosh. Blown away by. Okay. Bring it back in. Sorry. I love summer.
I love summer.
There was this funny meme I saw. It was talking about, you know how people are like, oh, I can't have this bread because I got to be on the beach in 4 days. And it was this meme. It was like, well, this body going to be at the beach with or without this bread.
Listen.
It's like trying to, I don't know. I don't have summer travel plans, but I think that it can be so stressful trying to, like, restrict yourself for a trip when you already know. Like, have that extra dinner roll.
Listen.
It's not going to show. It's going to blend right in.
I was out in L.A. for Memorial Day weekend, and we were about to go hang by the pool, and I was like, look, I'm about to put on this two-piece and live my life. I turned to my best friend. I said, you know how to have a beach body? She was like, what? I was like, have a body, go to the beach. That's
hello, message.
That's it.
Message.
I'm so excited to just like be out here in very little clothing.
Yeah.
And all my 200 plus pounds and, you know, just live that life.
I'm tipping 185.
We out
and
here.
And I'm chilling.
We out here.
I just like melanin. I like, well, I mean that because I learned some things. I have more facts for you guys.
Ooh.
So there's something called facultative melanin and calculative melanin.
Okay.
So one is the melanin that you're born with,
okay,
like your sort of regular melanin levels. And then the other is your melanin plus, right? So when you tan, your melanin count increases.
Mm.
So, and it's not based on how dark you are, how fair or dark you might be. So I could technically have more melanin than you, Naima, even though I'm brighter.
Really?
Yes, but then I might also there's a potential for my melanin to increase after spending time in the sun, which I do a lot of in the summer. So,
Do you also put on sunblock?
I have to.
You need to.
I blame it on the vengeful ancestors.
No. Listen, even if you are dark, you need to be putting on sunscreen.
Right.
It is a real thing. This comes from my days in consumer mags. And working in health departments and going to all of these different workshops about sunscreen and being like, oh, we be out here like, oh, my melanin gonna protect me. And I just be like, blah, that ozone layer is damn near gone. You need to. So you need to lather up, even if you chocolatey, because the sun can damage you.
Mm.
I just want
it's
people
true.
To know.
So
even if you don't have sunburn, you still need to, you know.
Yeah. To get it right. So constitutive melanin is what you're naturally born with. That's genetically determines the color of your skin. That is uninfluenced by the ultraviolet light or hormone exposure. So basically, everyone's natural skin tone, if you lift up your arm and look at your armpit, that's what your actual natural skin tone is.
Oh,
that armpit color. Okay. So
okay.
Just so you guys know.
Yeah, I really just lifted up my arm and looked at my armpit, but okay.
Yeah. So, but facultative is usually, that's when you get the UV love, and then you have more melanin. So, it's a fun fact.
Thank you for the facts.
You're welcome.
I like your facts.
They like you too.
You just be out here.
You know, I try Word. And like bring some stats into the fray.
I like
into
it.
The fold.
I like it.
Sometimes it's a fray.
Next episode, I will have some statistics for y'all. I mean, I have the 33% joint, but I think if we gonna help people understand things, I should be more fact based.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll see what that look like.
That's why I have facts. Because we're helping people understand.
Ah, uh-huh.
Yeah. But
not just because I just be nerd now. Okay.
Summer, well, you that know. Too. Summer's just challenging for me because, I mean, I want to know anybody, any other fellow person of color, heat rash is such a pain.
Oh.
And I get heat rash on my arms, and it's really, like, it's just annoying because it's just, like, it builds up. So the more sun I'm in, the worse it gets. It's itchy. And I'm just like, I'm black. Like, this should not be allowed, but...
I don't have the heat rash issue.
I don't think it's like, I don't know, maybe it's probably more common than I know, but it's just annoying to have to do that.
I don't have the heat rash issue. I have the leg chafing issue because, you know, my thick thighs be saving lives and whatnot. But also, I like to walk a lot.
Yes.
So.
I always have to wear shorts. Let's talk about keys for success in the summer.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
One of them on this topic is definitely going to be if your thighs touch.
Which mine do. Please
as
continue.
Do mine. And you have no thigh gap. And you like to wear dresses in the summer.
Which I do.
I do as well. Or skirts. Then you should wear some Spanx or some thigh-hugging shorts underneath so that you don't chafe.
Yeah.
Because that sweat and the friction is very painful.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my number one keys to success for the summer.
My key to success for the summer is drink a lot of water and put on sunscreen.
Because I just don't. This is probably getting a little graphic, guys.
I mean, putting sunscreen on my bald
head. But I don't know. The women, the ladies who flourish in their sundresses with thongs, like, how do you do it? Because, one, for me, that's a lot of movement, a lot of wiggling. And it's just, like, a lot of, like, I have no barrier, you know?
I just want... You're getting honest, y'all.
I'm so serious. I respect it. But I just feel like it's not for me. It's not for me.
Word.
Yeah. Summer tips. What else we got?
Go to all the parties.
All of the parties. Summer is a great time for day drinking.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's also a dangerous time for day drinking, I feel like.
It's because
if you're not drinking all your water the way you're supposed to, then you out here day drinking, then you get dehydrated, and it's just like a whole situation. But I do think that summer is a good time to like go out and meet new people.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Ooh, I have one.
Ooh.
Go to a music festival that your auntie would go to.
Oh, you just made me so sad I missed Stone Soul. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Stone Soul and what's it called? Oh man, in DC, it was literally like 12,000 people out there in all of their lawn chairs and blankets.
Listen.
And waffle sandals. So many
ma'am.
Waffle sandals.
Ma'am.
And matching flowing linen two piece outfits.
Can go to an all white party be a thing? A
oh, Summer suggestion? Spirit Summer Spirit Festival, that's what it is.
Okay.
Go to a music festival that your auntie or your granny would go to.
Yeah. That's a good life.
Yeah.
We out here with tips, water and sunscreen.
There was something else.
Oh.
Go to an all white party?
I said, is that a thing?
Am I the only person that immediately associates all white with Diddy?
Oh, take that.
When I hear all white, I'm just like Diddy.
Go to a Diddy
not
party.
Oprah, not White Chicks, the movie.
Right.
But Diddy. I don't know why.
I think of Lisa Ray.
Mm.
Is that her name? No, I might have the wrong person.
What's her name, sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her.
Okay. You mean the brat sister.
You know, what's her name?
You mean Diamond from Players Club. Yeah, that's who.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so I feel like since we out here giving suggestions for things, we should just go ahead and get into the joints that's on our radar.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. This is a segue into one of my what's on my radar, things is that so I had a beautiful opportunity just to go away for 10 days. So I went to LA and Long Beach and New Orleans. So one of my tips also would just be to take a staycation. If you can't actually take a vacation, take a staycation.
Mm.
Go find a hotel. Make sure they have a nice pool. Whatever you like to do, do that. Get an Airbnb, whatever. was about to say put the kids to bed, like I get kids, but I don't got kids. But so when I went to New Orleans, I really wanted to explore the city because I hadn't been there really since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And so when you're a kid, you're like, oh, beignets, beignets. And like, that's all that matters is like eating beignets and
right.
having not to worry if there's powdered sugar on your face. But my friend, his friend, runs a walking tour company mm-hmm. called No Nola Tours, KNOWNOLA Tours, on Instagram. And it is a Black-owned walking tour of the city. And so the guy who started it, he's been a librarian at Dillard University for a while. So definitely true history buff. And I learned so much about what's wild. One of the things that's so wild to me about New Orleans is like literally like your hotel could have been a former like slave quarters, right? Or a former slave auction block. And so New Orleans is just that type of city where it's so rich, or even as you're walking, you see some of the wrought iron balconies. Some of those are, or a lot of them have Ndinka symbols welded into them. So you can look up and you'll see Sankofa, the version with that looks more of like the heart with the curly accents. Mm. And there'll be other throughout the city because it's just sort of like there's a language for our enslaved ancestors even there. And so it's like, well, if you guys are going to force us into doing this labor, then we're going to add our own touches. But a lot of it was very, like, subliminal or low-key. Mm. So check them out. there's also this running joke that, like, some natives of New Orleans will stand around and a tour group's past them and they're like, they're lying to you. If it's a tour being given by a white person.
Oh, my god!
So that was really funny. But, yeah, check them out. No Nola Tours, and we'll have all these things in the show notes. Also on my radar, we were talking about Nixon being the one to actually inaugurate Father's Day in 72. But the Lucas Brothers have a new stand-up feature on Netflix called The Lucas Brothers on Drugs. And it is very, very directly tied to Nixon. So check that out. It's really funny. They're so great. They're just so fun to watch. Their body language, like there's this moment where one of them is talking and then he just stops and like wipes his nose. He's like, huh, is my nose sweating? Yeah, just a little bit. And then they just keep going. But you can literally be like, you guys are the type of twins who like spend very little time apart. But he is adorable because they're grown, but they're still so, they're just so endearing towards each other. Also on Netflix, Hasan Minhaj, his stand-up is out, and he's a wonderful, masterful storyteller. Like, I was very much, there's another comedian who I won't name because I'm not in the business of throwing shade, but I just know that, I wish y'all could see Naima's face, but I just know that it was like, there's certain shows that you watch or certain things that you cut on, and you're like, okay, I can pause this and come back to it, and there's certain things that you're like, I have to see it all the way till the end, and for Hasan Minhaj, I was like, I need to see the whole thing, because it's so good. Lastly, some of the brothers out of San Quentin are dropping a new podcast called Ear Hustle. It is debuting this month, June. So if you just look up Ear Hustle San Quentin, it is literally made inside the walls of San Quentin with the help of some folks. And I'm really excited to, I met the two, I feel like they're everything, like reporters, producers, hosts, two of the brothers that do that. And Nigel, who's a woman, actually, and she works alongside them. And that podcast is coming out in June. So Ear Hustle San Quentin, if you Google it, check them out. I'm really excited to tune into that. So, yeah, that's what's on my radar. What about you, Neems?
I had a last-minute addition because when you were talking about No Nola, mm-hmm. it made me think about Black Gotham Experience. Mm. So anybody who is in New York at any point this summer, if you check out blackgotham.com, Kamau Ware, they put on. So the mission is celebrate the impact of the Black diaspora on New York City. Mm. But the use of history and art and just the way it all comes together, definitely check out Black Gotham.
Is it like tours? Or?
So they do walking tours.
Oh, cool.
Sometimes they have like little brunch situations. There was one part of the project where doing some history, they went back and recreated the lives of Black slaves and former slaves that were in New York. And so like, when I say recreated, like, doing a full costume design of, whoa, like, what the fashion was during that time, who built what in New York. And so there's just all of this history that a lot of us don't know walking through the streets of New York. And yeah. So to get a taste of that, I would say definitely check out Black Gotham and see what they have moving through the summer.
With that. That makes me think about when some gentrifier thought it was cute to, like, make walking tours of Brooklyn and stuff. And so there would be all these, like, packs of white people with headphones walking through Brooklyn with a little, like, booklet. And the black folks would be on the stoop like, what are you doing? Why are you here? And I know that the New York Times produced some short docs, I think, about it, about Brooklyn. But I think that was, like, it wasn't endorsing it. It was, like, being like, this is one of the things that's raising eyebrows in Brooklyn, these white folks walking around with headphones. So that was pretty interesting. But that just made me think about that. Sorry. I digress.
Black Gotham experience.
The visual was like, wow. More on black folks. hashtag black creatives. I just, like...
BLK.
BLK creatives. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are not into that hashtag / following that handle on Twitter / signed up for the newsletter and getting your life, like... Please correct that. Melissa Kimball has put in so much work on this project,
yes,
and on creating this space for people to connect. And the monthly chats are just super on point. They did a financial one,
ooh,
that had me like, ooh, like getting your finances together as
she
a black
creative.
She just
did a reverse body roll, y'all.
Ooh, it was amazing. So yeah, get into that hashtag, get into that that space. And then also, speaking of financials, I am currently reading this book called You Are a Badass at Making Money, and I am enjoying it, y'all. I'm enjoying it. It's like The Secret plus some financial advice, a little life coaching in there. If you get the book, there's actually things for you to work through at the end of each chapter. And I thought it was really, I think it's really dope because we have a lot of hangups around money, like people who are rich are evil. And so,
She's got sticky notes, y'all. So she's serious.
It's very serious. But, like, you know, when you're walking around thinking that, like, all people with money are evil, you can't really ball out of control. Like, there's a mental block there, right?
So, right.
Like, and I think that for me specifically, growing up in the very activist Bay Area, anti-capitalism, whatever space, you know, there might be some mental blocks that I have around money and financials. And you know, one of the things is, so one of the little workshop joints is like, make a list of some beautiful things that have happened in this world thanks to money. Make a list of how you being rich will benefit others. And I think those are things that, like, help us reshape money in our minds, right? Because I was balling, there are a lot of things that I could give to. Like, I could just go out and, like, fully fund some campers for Camp Real Stories because I was balling out of control, you know? Instead of asking everybody else for money. I mean, I still ask everybody else for money, but, like, I'd have more money to give, right? If I had more money. So, anyway.
I love it when you talk to me.
That cash machine. Yeah, y'all don't know how much I love drama. Oh my God, that just made me so happy. And then the last one I wanted to point out is CassiusLife.com, which is a new online platform.
Can you spell that?
Yes, CassiusLife.com.
When you first said it, I was like, Cash like ka-ching, and I looked down at the paper, and I was
Cassius like clay.
Word.
If I could, you know, this
if
is just,
I may,
if I let me just do this joint real quick because I love them. So Jameela Lemieux, who a lot of folks know from her blogging days, maybe from her time at Ebony, but she's one of the top editors.
Maybe from snatching wigs and taking names,
snatching all the wigs.
And Minnie Mila, her daughter, is so cute,
right? Okay, so. She is one of the folks who birthed this project, right?
Okay.
And it's a Black-owned news publication.
Mm.
So it's News One, Interactive One. This is their new platform,
okay.
Cassius. So the part it says Cassius, Born Unapologetic. And then it says Cassius is an experience. We do news and storytelling differently. We provoke, we disrupt, we inform, we uplift. We don't just cover the culture, we are the culture.
Nice.
And I was like, I rock with you. Okay. So that's on my radar, and I'm really looking forward to what they produce.
My last one. my last one, which I think you'll agree with. It's two-prong. I can't contain my excitement about Queen Sugar season 2 coming back.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm literally, like, having a conniption right now. Like, my heartbeat is racing just thinking about it.
Oh, I'm so excited.
All of the trailers on my bae's Instagram, Kofi Cirbo, super intense.
Oh, your bae, huh?
You heard me.
Mm.
Super intense, super just, like, tantalizing, like, what's going to happen next.
Mm.
She's mad. I claimed him. And also, there's a book. I posted about it on my Instagram, me reading, curled up reading Queen Sugar, the novel, which Natalie Bazile, who's a Bay Area Black author, she spent 11 years writing that book.
Yes.
And I started.
Thank you, Natalie.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And I think it's where I think if you can get in reading the book before season 2 comes on, do it. Or maybe in your withdrawal from when season 2 will be over, pick that book up and read it. It's a really good read. So yeah, I cannot wait. I'm gonna have just come back. / Kofi, I love you.
I mean, it's fine. Lord. Anyway.
Yeah, we just gotta cut it off there. That was like chocolate.
Man is just fine. And he rides for Black women. Oh my God. Anyway.
He's gonna be in that. Is that coming out in this month?
What?
Girls Night with like
Girls Trip.
Girls Trip, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's in that, looking extra snackable.
So, no comment. Don't.
Okay, guys, we gotta go. We gotta go. We gotta go. It's got real hot in the studio all of a sudden.
This is such a mess. Why do people let us have a podcast? Lord.